All right, this is DJ Rem from Metal Devastation Radio, and I have the band When Hearts Wither on the line today with us. How's it going tonight?
Yeah, good. What's up? How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Things are nice here in Michigan. It's not snowing right now, so.
That's hard to believe.
So, why don't you introduce yourself, Andy?
All right. How you going? I'm the vocalist and the main songwriter for When Hearts Wither, and I've just recently got Matt by my side, and he's I'll let him introduce himself.
But yeah.
Pretty much just the main vocalist for When Hearts Wither.
And I'm doing like mostly the guitar work, some bass, and doing the production now.
Okay, fantastic. And then it's just the two of you. Do you have anyone else that like does any kind of session work or anything with you guys, or is it just the two of you?
Pretty much just the two of us, yeah.
And it was him for a long time before I came along, so he's been crushing it for a long time.
Trying to.
Well, I will tell you what, the new music, I can't stop listening to it. It is fantastic. So
thank you so much.
Yeah, so if you've seen your listens increase dramatically, like on Spotify, that's me, or partly me. And I've been playing the music on my radio show as well. So ever since Matt and I started talking, and you know, got the new music and everything, I've been playing it every show. So. And
I'm really excited. I've been listening to it every day too. Yeah. I'm loving it.
That's awesome. So
usually when
you're
right. Usually when I did my music myself, I always continue to listen to it, and then as soon as I listen back to it, I always find problems with it. But I don't have that problem anymore since Matt's actually doing all the heavy work for me. It's good. Thanks, Matt.
I don't mind it at all. It's actually I've had a blast producing it. I mean, aside from like the time zone difficulty, like it's either he's having to stay up late or I'm having to stay up late, or he's having to get up early or I am. But aside from that, man, this has been the breeze.
It's never really an issue anyway.
Yeah. Like we've made it work. Like, yeah. For us to be on opposite ends of the planet.
Yeah. And remind me, Andy, where are you?
Australia, Queensland.
You are in Australia. Nice. Yep. And Matt, remind me where you're at.
Alabama,
Roll Tide.
That's right.
So
I'll let my daddy hear that.
So, okay, go Ohio State. There you go.
Yeah. he went to Auburn, so he's a War Eagle guy.
Gotcha. So let's start. Tell me. Let's tell all the listeners that are going to be watching this and listening to this, where can they go to find out more about the band, the project, whatever you're calling it, and also what social media, where's the best place for people to go to listen to the music and find out more about what you guys are doing?
I'd say definitely for social media is Facebook. That's probably our main source to tell everybody what we're about and keep them updated. Definitely Facebook. Most of my music is on YouTube, but not this album. We'll be putting it all throughout Spotify and Google Play and all that. Matt, you know more about which apps and all that, which platforms are going onto there. So
we're using DistroKid, so everything goes to almost every streaming service. You know, every one of them that I could possibly think of. And you know, it'll end up on YouTube because they upload it to YouTube under like a topic or something like that. And in like YouTube Red and, you know, pretty much any streaming service that anybody could possibly use, unless you're in Russia, and then they just take it. Yeah. They absolutely do.
Oh, Russia. We won't even talk about Russia right now.
Yeah.
So And also, it sounds like you're gonna do a little work with Zach over at Metal Devastation MDPR. Is that correct?
That's correct. Yeah, we're gonna be reaching out to them. We got about a little over a month before the rollout starts, before we start the last month of, you know, which we've been revving up to it already. We've had the album finished for about 2 weeks now. We've been like sitting on it and like making some videos, like some short form content and stuff like that, you know, reels, and that stepped the engagement up a whole lot. I wish I'd have realized with or without you how much stuff like that helps, how much like visual content really does work. But man, it's like those videos
engages everyone so well.
Yeah, and like, we got
I saw you post a reel like, and like half an hour later, you had like a few hundred views on it or something. Like, it was insane.
Yeah. There's one sitting right now at like 3,600. That last one, the really short one. Yeah. For How Could I Know, which is like my favorite. That's my favorite track off this whole album. That one eats at you, man. Once you hear the lyrics, when you can read the lyrics, yeah, that one eats you up.
Awesome. Well, I'm excited to hear that you're going to work with Zach. Zach is fantastic to work with. And, you know, like all the bands that I talk to come through those PR companies that send out promo, you know, the band I talked to today in the UK, I was mentioning earlier, that's how I found out about them was through a PR company. So, I think that when you do that, this is just my opinion and thoughts, but I think when you do that, you're going to get the music in front of so many DJs and in front of so many different publications and stuff. I mean, I'll give you an example.
Well, there's a lot. I know that there's a lot of places like that I was going to submit to that are like, you know, they require PR people. They're like, you know, have your PR people reach out to us and then we'll go from there.
I can't find it right off the top of my, but the last issue of Decibel magazine had Zach had like a whole half page ad with bands.
Yeah, I saw that on their Facebook page. Yeah.
Awesome. So tell me about the making of this new album. Kind of what's the process been like? How long did it take to create this material and get it to where it's at now, ready to go out to the masses?
Yeah, all right. I'm not sure how long ago it was, but I wasn't actually planning to do much with this song. It was with Tears Unspoken. I started doing the composition for it, and I just recorded it on my phone, posted it on Facebook, and then Matt messaged me not long after that, and then he was like, hey, can I start mixing your music and stuff? And I was like, oh, fuck yeah. It's easier for me. I always struggled with that stuff, so I was like, how could I say no to that? So it's been a breeze. Like just doing it through social media, not having to know like face-to-face communication. Like I thought that'd be hard, but it actually hasn't been it's been really good. So we pretty much just go back and forth with like the recordings and the stems and the instrumentation and all that. So it's been really easy.
Nice. Yeah. How many tracks are on the new album?
Six tracks.
Okay. So are you calling it a full album or considering it more like an EP?
It'd be a full album.
It's an hour long.
It's like a runtime of 58 minutes or something.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah. Okay.
You know, I met Andy in like 2019. It was right
2019,
after
2019. Yeah.
Yeah. It was. He had released an album called Caligonus. You haven't heard that album? Go listen to it. I could never say enough about that album. Like, it is so good. And the only, you know, and then I'd see, a couple of reviews where people had reviewed it and they're like, man, the composition is great. The writing is great. The lyrics are great. The production falls short, you know?
Yeah.
And that's easy. That's easy to do when you're focused on all that stuff. So, you know, actually he did the guest vocals. I reached out to him through a group on Facebook and was like, hey, you know, I have this song. And this is when With or Without You was still, you know, running. And it was our second album, Akathisia. And I wrote a song called My Dying Breath. And I reached out to Andy and was like, hey, would you want a guest vocal on this? So we had him, you know, go record his vocals, then come back, put Colton over, and then release that, you know, and then we've kind of stayed in touch ever since, you know, on and off.
Yeah.
I mean, I buy merch.
I absolutely loved recording that song. That was an awesome song. I had a great time doing that.
Yeah, it was like some kind of like funeral doom, like black metal group or something like that on Facebook. Just on the off chance, I just happened to run across it. Like,
is that how we met?
Caligonus. Yeah, because when Caligonus,
I wrote you on Facebook
after Caligonus and was like, dude, this album is like, I was blown away by it.
And so good. Where can people listen to that one, Andy?
Mainly on YouTube and Bandcamp. Okay. They're the two ones that I've got on there. I've had it on all the other platforms, but I canceled my subscription a while ago and it just got taken down. But most, like all my music is on YouTube.
Okay.
Like just, they're just on there.
And what do people, is it under When Hearts Wither? Or is it under your name?
Yeah. When Hearts Wither. Yeah.
Okay. Perfect.
Yeah. I do have another Bandcamp that's just under my name, just for my other music that, it's not really funeral doom or nothing metal related, but I probably won't do anything with that. But yeah, okay. I've got two band camps, but When Hearts Wither is the main one where all my music's on there.
Oh, awesome. And so are you guys going to do any physical release with the album, or is it going to be just strictly digital?
100% physical. I'm planning to get those made.
Yeah. Now vinyls, everybody, I've had like everybody hit us up about vinyls.
I already knew.
And the issue. Okay, so everybody's having an issue with vinyl right now. It's really hard to get your hands on them because all the things going on overseas and all that.
Right.
Right now, vinyl is difficult to get. Yeah, and the cost has gone way up, and it's. I don't think it could be feasible at this juncture to do the vinyls, which is, you know, a shame because it's a big piece of canvas for the artwork. This artwork was done by an incredible artist who's done a couple of Andy's past ones. Did she do the one for Caligonus too?
No, that was through Maxwell Aston or something like that. Some other guy, Aston or something.
You had Empty Vase, which was the album that he released before we did this one. I know Gogo. Her name's Gogo, but she's Greek, so I don't know how to pronounce her last name.
That's how I pronounce it.
Yeah.
Gogo Malone, that's what.
Yeah, Gogo Malone. That's what I keep saying too. And I was like, that can't be right. But she's a singer for what is it, Aeonic Sorrow or Aeonian Sorrow?
Aeonian Sorrow, yeah.
Yeah.
And Lunar Obscura or something like that as well.
Incredible artist, I came up
to her for my EP Sacrifice of Innocence.
Ever
since I got that artwork, I've always just gone to her. She's my go-to.
There's something about having the artwork on the 12-inch.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
and it just blown up like that. But she did an incredible, like, you know, we're probably going to do digipacks.
Okay.
Because she did 100%. An entire inlay. Yeah, like an entire like fold out inlay. Layout. It's like that's some of the best work I've seen so far.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, I'll be on the lookout for that, and I'll keep on the lookout for the vinyl. Just something to think about, because I only say this because I've seen bands do this, you know, to help with the vinyl, the funding part. You could do like a pre-order.
Which we started the pre-order on Bandcamp and actually got a really good response. Like, you know, we've sent out to a couple of reviewers, and every time a review comes back, pre-orders come back. So,
okay, very good.
Like this one's going, like we're going to, that's the reason I was, you know, when we were talking about how to roll it out, I was like, you know, we might as well do it proper, get a PR people, you know, because this one won't, you know, I want this one to hit as many people as possible. It's good. Like it's solid.
Yeah, when you work with Zach, he might even have some lead for you for vinyl.
Yeah,
I know Black Doomba Records does vinyl.
I was on Black Doomba with Wither Without You.
Okay.
I just saw Tommy. I was living in Connecticut, and I went to recording school up there and stuff. So we were living in Connecticut, and I was running sound at a venue up in Northern Connecticut, up in Jewett City, and he come through on tour.
Oh, nice.
And like, yeah, it was cool, man. It was good to see him.
We need to get you over here this coming October, Andy, for Tennessee Metal Devastation Fest.
Oh yeah, man, I'd love to.
I heard the last one made a buzz, didn't it? With the local people there.
Yeah, it made a buzz, but the buzz gave a whole bunch of free publicity. And,
oh yeah.
Yeah, I was there. There was over 1,200 people there.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It was like,
it was good for apparently the first time.
They thought apparently they were putting on the show, and the local people there, and this would happen here where I'm at too. They would immediately think that you're summoning Satan and
satanic panic.
Yep, that's exactly what it was. But no publicity, bad publicity. I'm gonna tell you that.
Yep. So, all right. So how did you come up with the name When Hearts Wither, Andy? Where does that come from?
Oh, geez. This isn't gonna sound as cool, but I just put random words together. I tried, because it's a funeral doom based like project. I was like, what sounds sad? And I just put all these random words together, talking about withering, when hearts wither. I don't know how it came. It just happened. I don't know. I did a whole heap of other projects. I came up with While the Light Remains, and that was my really bad project I started before When Hearts Wither. And I was like, no, I've got to change this up. And then I tried other ones like Everlasting Misery or something like that. And that had a cool ring to it, but I ended up just keep trying new ones, and I pretty much stuck with When Hearts Wither.
But you're right, though. It fits the style of the metal, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
You're never going to hear me put metal in genres. I'm just going to call it metal. So,
yeah.
You know?
That's the best way to go about it. Yeah. For sure.
The guys in London I was talking to earlier today, they made a comment, and I'm like, metal is just like a way of life, you know? So it's either you're metal or you're not. And, you know, try not to stick it in a box, you know? So
yeah, don't pigeonhole. No, definitely exactly. Not.
All right. Awesome. So a question for each of you, because I'm always curious when I talk to musicians about these things. So it's kind of a two-parter for each one of you. So the first part is, you know, what kind of influences did you have or have you had in your life that kind of got you into music? And I'm curious to know, but I'm not asking, you know, what bands you grew up listening to. What I really am curious to know is, did you have people in your family that were into music? You know, sometimes I talk to people and, you know, grandpa played guitar in a Western band, you know, whatever. But, you know, so you just kind of what influences did you have you had in your life that kind of drove you this direction?
For me was my dad and my brother. My dad, when he was like 19, he used to be in a band called Double Barrel, and he did a few gigs around the place. And we always had guitars around the house, and we had I had a drum kit when I was like 10 or something like that. My brother always listened to the metal kind of stuff, rock and all that, and I got into that genre with him, but mainly from my dad, because he always had instruments around the house, and I was always intrigued with that side. Just like, not into country, because that's mainly what he's into, but I got into music that way. And then with my brother, I got into metal with him. So
that's how I started. Props to your dad, man.
Yeah, you know? Thanks, Dad.
That's right. How about you, Matt?
Well, my grandma, she sang country music almost all my life. She actually had won a contest in like the late 70s and did the Grand Ole Opry, right?
Oh, that's awesome.
So she was, but I don't have anybody else in my entire family that has any kind of musical inclination whatsoever. So like nobody, I actually met some guys when I was like 13 or 14, something like that. And I would go to his house, and him and his dad both played guitar, and they had a drum kit, but neither one of them could play it. So I started playing drums. That was like the first instrument that I picked up. did that for like 2 years, and then his dad started teaching me guitar. So I had like a good guitar, and his dad was probably one of the best Delta blues players I'd ever met, you know. And in Alabama, that's saying a lot, because everybody's a Delta blues player here. Okay. I don't care if you're, I don't care if you play metal or not. But so I you know, started picking up guitar, and after about a year is when I started like playing, you know, writing my own music, and went and started joining bands and stuff. I took the guitar way easier than I ever did drums. As soon as I picked up a guitar, I was like, yeah, this is what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, it didn't hurt that he had like a $5,000 Fender Stratocaster, like the American made one. And, you know, Alvarez Yari, that was handmade, like an acoustic, because that's the first guitar I ever picked up. That guitar was 20 grand for a handmade Alvarez Yari before they went, before they started mainlining them, or like, okay, you know, opened up a facility. Yeah, they were made individually, handmade. And that thing was from like 1955, and it was just smooth as butter, man. Couldn't even put calluses on your fingers with that thing.
Awesome. Awesome. Fun fact about where I live, Kalamazoo, Michigan. Kalamazoo, Michigan is where Gibson Guitars was founded.
Man, Gibson, they bought Mesa, and a lot of people are upset about it. They just bought Mesa Boogie, and they jacked the prices on Mesa way up.
Oh,
true. I bought right before we started this recording, the cabinets that I reamped the guitars into, I had bought, man, what would have been a $500 212 like horizontal cabinet from Mesa is now an $800, almost $900 212 horizontal cabinet from Mesa. I was upset about that. But I mean, I always wanted a Mesa. I didn't care what it cost. You put a price tag on something like that, you'll never buy any music equipment, period. So
yeah, there's some things that you just have to pay the money.
Yeah, exactly. You can't skip out on stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I mean, Mesa is pretty much the sound of American metal anyway, with the, you know, those vintage 30s, man, you can't beat those. I don't care. You can stack up Marshalls like left and right, and they won't ever beat a Mesa.
Nice. What kind of microphones you guys use? You guys have like a favorite microphone?
I don't have a favorite. I'm just got me Rode NT-IA or something like that. I can't really.
It's a Rode of some sort. Yeah, the NTA1.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's pretty much what I've been using this whole time.
Yeah, and like I'm not using them here. All I'm doing is just basically mixing and mastering. So a whole bunch of Waves plugins and Studio One, and we're good to go.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, and funny you mentioned Rode because another artist that I've interviewed, and I'm working on setting up an interview, she's from Australia. Name of the band's Hell Fifth, and that's what she uses is Rode microphones as well. So
yeah, they're great microphones for sure.
Yeah, the NTA ones, usually you'll find one in every studio that you go to, or at least every one that I've ever been into, you'll find at least one. Because they have like a real dirty sound.
Okay.
So, man, you can't really beat them. It's just they get a lot of room, I think, for a condenser. So, like, you got to be, you know, that's when you want a booth.
Nice. So, when it has the new album dropped yet, or are you still waiting to do that? Remind me on that.
Yeah, it's just still waiting. Okay. Comes out February 25th. But on Bandcamp, we've got 3 songs like ready to play for the viewers before they actually pre-order if they want to. Right. So you've got three songs right there ready to play. And then once they pre-order, they'll just have those 3 songs until the release date comes in.
Okay. Yeah, I may have pre-ordered. I'll have to check. If I haven't, I'll pre-order.
You definitely should.
I'll get it.
You do what you want. I don't care. It's up to you.
No, I definitely should, and everybody listening right now and watching this interview should. For sure.
Go to Bandcamp.
That's right. Bandcamp is the place. Okay. What else about the new album and the work you guys are doing that you want, you know, the listeners, the viewers to know about,
we're just getting started. Like, now that we're, you know,
we've got a whole heap of ideas.
Yeah. So the next one's, you know, we got six tracks, five of them. He had some of them plotted out before I came along, like the composition and stuff. So
I just had to finish them up pretty much.
Yeah.
Work on them.
I got it. Once I got everything mixed down and I wrote one, like there at the end, I wrote a tune. And it's the one we did the lyric video for. And it's like the title track to this album.
Yeah.
And that one came out a little bit more death doom than I would have liked it to, you know. It definitely stands out a little different than the rest of them, but man.
Yeah,
This one's a monster.
It was probably the best way to finish the album, in my opinion. 100%.
Yeah, step it up just a little bit.
Nice. It's
more clean vocals and stuff like that than all the, you know, the lows and stuff.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have any other projects right now, Andy, you're working on that you want to plug?
Nothing. I'm pretty much purely focusing on When Nuts Wither at the moment. Okay. I might do another album non-metal related for Under My Name. But who knows? We'll just see what happens. I'm not too worried about it yet. But mainly just When Nuts Wither.
How about you, Matt? Do you have any other projects right now?
I have like a solo thing called Inevident that I do, which is basically I write it. Most of it is like I have a whole bunch of external hard drives with a whole bunch of music that didn't go with what I was doing at the time. So I've been like throwing tracks at vocalists, you know, local, and some to Andy and some to, you know, pretty much any vocalist that I know, and be like, hey, you know, record vocals to this, send it back to me, I'll mix it in. And I'm just going to make like a one big compilation of that stuff. But
oh, nice.
I haven't, aside from like, you know, sending out tracks, we've been focused on getting this done.
Yeah.
This has been like an everyday thing since I think October. So I haven't really been focused on anything but this.
Yeah. You got to eye on the prize, right? Get it out there. get it to listeners. And, you know, obviously the hope is that everybody picks it up and they're like, woohoo, you know. And
there's only one way to find out.
Yeah,
put it out there and just.
He's got his whole discography on Bandcamp. I would suggest getting that because Empty Bass, Caligonus, man, all of it is just—it's insane. It's a. How old are you, Andy?
21 this year in February. About a week after our release date.
Yeah.
A week before the release date. I turned 21.
21, and he's got a discography bigger than me, and I've been doing this for almost 17 years now.
You guys are making me feel really old. Thanks.
I'm 35, man. I'm up there.
Yeah, well, add another 14 to you, Matt, and that's where I'm at.
Oh, man.
I'm an old school metalhead. My first introduction to heavy metal was my mom had Black Sabbath Paranoid on vinyl, and I was like, what is this? And
that's mine too.
Hell yeah.
And then I'm in middle school and my friends are like, listen to this. And it's like, you know, one of the first Metallica albums, one of the first Megadeth albums, you know, and then it just, you know, and Slayer and just, you know, and I was like, you know, before that I was listening to Duran Duran and don't get me wrong, I still like Duran Duran, but
yeah, they're good.
You know, but that was Midnight Oil. I'm sure you're familiar with them, Andy.
For sure. Hell yeah. I grew up listening to them.
Yeah. Pretty much. So
Jimmy Barnes.
So that was like the style of music I was listening to until I found metal. And I was like, what is this stuff? And I still listen to other stuff. And Matt, you mentioned Delta Blues. I have been on a terror with listening to Buddy Guy lately. I cannot stop listening to Buddy Guy.
You and my dad would get along really good.
That guy is so good.
My dad listened to a lot of like the Delta, like the first metal I ever heard. My dad had a really great vinyl collection growing up, Mint vinyl collection. And he had Black Sabbath's Greatest Hits. And it was the one that had the bubonic plague cover, like that had the inlet and the poster in it. Thing still had its poster in it, was in mint condition. And I remember hearing that. I was probably like 6, 7, something like that. He had, you know, you had Hank Williams, Hank Jr. And like we all, there was music always playing in our house. So,
awesome.
But he likes like John Fogerty and like The Outfield, another great UK group. I still listen to them. Like that album, I play that album all the time.
I just found at a vintage shop recently, I just found Black Sabbath, the original pressing of their Masters of Reality album. Yep.
That's the one that had Sweet Leaf on it, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah, I love that song. That's probably my favorite Sabbath song ever.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. It's pretty good.
Yeah, that one bops.
So Andy,
hell yeah.
Being that you're the young one with us here tonight, I am curious to know, like outside of listening to your music, you can't answer with your music. We already know you listen to it 24/7. what bands are you listening to right now? What's your go-to outside of your stuff?
Clouds are based in Romania, and all international band, I think. UK, okay. Romania, and all that. Clouds, 100%. Clouds, yeah, Swallowing the Sun. And I've got Mournful Congregation in my car at the moment. I love Mournful Congregation.
Nice.
They were the first doom metal band from Australia that I heard of.
Okay.
So I related to them quite a lot. I think they're based in like Melbourne or Victoria or something down south. But yeah, no, I love, they're like my favorite Aussie doom bands.
So is that like, is that a band that when you heard them, you're like, I need to do this. I need to play this kind of music.
Yeah. Well, Clouds was the first doom band I got into.
Okay.
I don't know how it got onto them, but it just came up on my YouTube suggestions. And I was like, what the hell is this? Clicked on it. And I didn't stop listening to it ever since. Like I always slept to that music. I did everything. It's the first album, Dolly You or something like that.
Players. Okay.
I never stopped listening to it.
Awesome.
But that was back in like, that was like 2016 I found that, okay. Found that band out. So I haven't stopped listening to them since.
They're, what about you, Matt? What are you listening to right now?
Look, I'm a simple dude. Like I play the same 10 albums every day. Like I literally listen to the same ones. The 4 Woods of Ypres albums, you know, since their vocalist he died not too long back. But yeah, Woods 1 through 4. And you know, the stuff that they have unreleased through Earache Records, Catatonia, Funeral, which I'm a big death doom guy. So like, you know, My Dying Bride, the original Peaceville 3. But yeah, From These Wounds by Funeral, the Woods of Ypres albums, like all of them and their singles and stuff. And then, Catatonia just released a new album that is extremely good. Probably the best one they've done since, you know, Viva Emptiness. And then, you know, My Dying Bride just released one last year, which is really good. But with My Dying Bride, their first one, Set Loose the Swan, that's like, man, you can't beat that album. That was when they still had like gritty, you know, like low guttural vocals and stuff. Uh-huh. It was like real original death doom. Like Slumber, I really like them, but now they busted up. So seems like all the great doom bands, they put out an album together, they bust up and go do like a whole bunch of little individual projects, and then they'll come back and like do one album and then not even tour on it and just bust up again. So have they can you, only tolerate
yeah
have you heard they only tolerate have, each other for a few days.
Yeah, have you heard Mother Slug?
I have not.
Check those guys out. And there's a I got them on vinyl. It's awesome green. It's so cool. They were record label, but they stopped. What I was trying to find is there's a band. Hold on. I got to find them.
There's one out of Connecticut that I think everybody should hear. I ran sound for these guys. I've been listening to them since before I moved to Connecticut. And then when I got up there and I finally met him, that's the first time that I was actually like, you know, when he started talking to me, I was like, bro, I've been listening to like everything y'all done for like the past 6 months. When the deadbolt breaks.
Okay.
Dude. It's like psychedelic almost. They have one album called Angels Weep, God is Abandoned. And I'm talking, when they say that they're the loudest band in Connecticut, I don't even know why I even hooked up a PA system, man. Like, it was so loud in there, my head was ringing for 2 days after that. But I loved it. They put on such totally a good show. Yeah, so worth it. Like, when I first heard that album, man, I was blown away by it. And they self-produce. So everything, you know, their vocalist does their production. And it's so clean. Like, he could be doing it professionally. But, you know, he's been doing this band for so long. They get around.
Yeah, well, as you guys know, it's nice to have a guy that can do the mixing and mastering and all that work, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I was doing it all with or without you, too. So, yeah. I'm so used to it at this point.
Awesome. Check out the band. If you haven't listened, I'll give you one more suggestion. They're called Rose Funeral. Check those guys out.
Yeah, I used to listen to those guys when I was, like, in grade 10. Grade 10 and 11, I always listened to those guys. They're really cool. Awesome. It took forever to release the new album, too, I think.
Yeah.
I haven't really kept up to date with them, but it took a while to release a new album.
Yeah, I just recently found them. They have their new song that I like is called Father Death. It is so good.
I'm not even sure if I've heard of that one, Father Death. I've got to check it out.
Yeah, you have to check it out. It is, like hell I said, yeah. I probably only... Here's the thing. There's so many bands, you know, so when people are like, you know, have you heard of, and you're like, no, they're like, what do you mean? Well, I can't help it. There's 10,000, there's a million bands out there, you know, there's so many bands. I mean, I get sent so much music for what I do for the radio show. I can't even keep up with all the bands that send out. So that's, you know, so that's why, you know, Matt, when you reached out, I'm like, you know, because that's my best way to connect with bands these days is when people reach out, just because it's just, you know, there's so many bands, there's so much music out there. And the thing is, there's so much good music out there, too.
Yeah.
And obviously, you know, the internet, the ability to build the software now where you can just do everything yourself, you know, I mean, I'm not trying to simplify it. I know there's a lot that goes into learning the whole process. You know, it's nothing that I could do. So props to you, Matt, for figuring it out.
I was doing it for like 3 years before I ever actually really learned how to do it. Like everything sounded like now compared, if you listen to something I've recorded recently compared to anything like, or even that last WWY album that came out last year that we put out, miles apart from everything else, you know. And after going to recording school, like, and figuring out what I was doing wrong, like everything I was doing was fundamentally wrong, entirely wrong. So, you know, now I know better, and everything's so much cleaner now. Like, I can get good mixes. Like, I don't even have monitors here. Most of my recording stuff's still up in Connecticut because I just came back down south.
Uh-huh.
So I mixed the whole album in these.
Gotcha. Hey. Whatever some worked.
Correction. Yeah, it worked.
And it works. So, okay, Andy, anything else about anything else about When Hearts Wither that you want to mention?
I'll definitely be making t-shirts. Not sure about any other merch, but definitely t-shirts. So I've been getting a lot of comments about getting merch. So t-shirts are on that. They're gonna happen. Not sure when, but they will. Apart from that, I can't think of anything.
So t-shirts, CDs, vinyl, someday, maybe. Eventually.
Hopefully.
Stickers.
Yes. We're going to get, I actually did. So I was going to take the logo and have some vinyl, like the vinyl made. Because we had a guy that did it for my last group. And, you know, it's such a good deal that I really can't pass it up. Plus, you know, it's a lot easier because if you look at our analytics, a lot of, you know, a lot of them are from like the US, but then there's a whole bunch of like European too. Like it's like almost half and half of between the US and Europe.
Right.
And it's easier for me to ship things from here and it costs a lot less. And then, it, you know, he can handle like the Europe people because it cost him less to do that. So,
yeah,
because I remember when I ordered my shirt from him for Caligonus is when COVID hit, and man, it took like 2 months to get over the pond.
I actually had to stop making merch because of that reason. It costed me so much to ship overseas during that COVID stage, especially like for a t-shirt and a CD, I just pay $55 for it or something. And I only got them for like 30 something. So I was losing a lot of money from that.
Oh yeah.
That's why I had to stop overall. Cause I couldn't do it financially.
Well, it
that,
shame,
right.
I had well, to do that.
And you shouldn't have to. And then, you know, but to tell someone, oh, it's going to cost you $30 in shipping. They're going to be like, what? You know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So I totally get it. There was one day recently, there was a band that I was like, I kind of like them. And so I was going to buy their CD to support them. The shipping was like the same price as the CD. And I'm like, you know, I want to support you, but that doesn't make sense to me, you know?
Yeah.
So I just...
That's not worth it.
I think the way we're going, I think drop shipping is probably going to be like the best thing ever. Is where it gets sent out from like a neutral location, whichever's closer, they'll press it and then ship it from there.
Oh, right.
Dropshipping is an amazing thing. So, because like I said, it does, it costs a lot to send stuff over there. Cause I was sending him, crap, I can't remember now, but I boxed it up and shipped it out. But the shipping to get it over the pond is like insane. And I think it's like DHL or something like that. Horrible. And DHL, they jab you.
Yeah. The other thing people like, throwing it out there, people like cassette tapes too, man.
Yeah, Matt was talking to me about that the other day.
Yeah,
because we were talking about the vinyl, and then we're thinking the cassettes would probably the better way to go for now, at the moment.
See, we don't even know that we can do vinyl, and because the album's an hour long, right? On vinyl, you can only do 25 and 25 on each side, because and the quality goes. Yeah, so for us to get this album on a vinyl, it'd have to be like a dual vinyl thing. Or we would have to sacrifice a track, which I wouldn't, you know, I probably wouldn't want to do.
That's not really worth doing that. It's not really.
Yeah.
So
I wouldn't even consider it doing it that way.
Yeah, you can't get rid of your music. That's just no. So this band Tyrant, highly recommend them as well.
Tyrant, all right.
Saw them live at Michigan Metal Fest this past summer, but they put their album out on cassette. It's also coming out on vinyl, but it's pretty cool. It's red.
Oh, that's sick. Yeah. See, now those we could do like cassettes. Because all we'd have to do is, you know, we wouldn't even have to remaster. That's another thing with vinyl is like I'm not fluent in how you're supposed to master for vinyl. It's completely different. That's a completely different ball game. And there's only like, you know, a handful of people I know that are even capable, but cassette, all you gotta do is send it off, get it reel to reel, and they'll mass produce as many as you want to.
Yeah. $10 for that. I mean, that's what I paid for it. So
yeah, that's good.
So just
so, cassettes would be awesome, especially for this kind of music, that more analog, you know, got a lot of analog hiss to it. Yeah. It'd be cool.
Yeah. Yep. So, anyways, there's my 2 cents.
We'll definitely look into that a bit more for sure.
Yep.
But, so before we go, let's just, if you can remind people where's the best place to listen to the new album once it's fully out and where they can go pre-order and, you know, what social media you're on.
Bandcamp is the go-to for sure. Bandcamp. You have 3 songs on there for now, and then you'll pre-order it. And then once the release date hits, you'll get the whole album all ready to go for you. And YouTube, it'll be up on YouTube too once it's out. So those are the 2.
We have the lyric video. Spotify, Deezer, Apple Music. It's, you know, 2 of the tracks are on there already. And then we have the lyric video on YouTube as well as, one of the others as well. I can't remember. it got reposted the other day too. And I meant to tell you about that, that guy from his channel reposted it, but yeah. So it'll be on all streaming and then Bandcamp. And if you're going to get physicals or whatever, they'll probably all go through Bandcamp too.
Yeah.
Bandcamp 100%. Makes it so easy.
Fantastic. Awesome. Well, thank you guys. Hope the weather's nice over there, Andy. It's got to be nicer than it is here.
It hasn't been for the past few days, but it's really nice now.
Fantastic. I feel like maybe I can see some blue sky behind you there.
It's summer there, and that's crazy.
Yeah, it's been shit, but yeah. It's not the worst thing. Like, we've had worse, but it's pretty nice at the moment.
Okay, well, Andy, Matt, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
No worries. Thanks for having us.
As things progress, if you want to do this again anytime, just hit me up, Matt. Happy to.
Right on, man. Thank you so much.
Yep. And if you guys need anything, I'll continue to post and play the music. And in the body of this on Spotify and YouTube will be links to everything as well, so people can get to Bandcamp and social media quickly.
Awesome.
So if you're tuned in and listening right now, go look in the comment section of the post and you'll find the links you need. So all right. Well, thanks guys. Have a great night.
All right. Cheers, matey. All right. Later. Cheers, matey.
Take care. Bye.